As we continue, we've got tonight and, Lord willing, next Wednesday night, and we will finish up our series on reaching others for Christ. And we've been working through our conversation and getting more towards that spot, if you will, of being able to ask the questions bringing us to the gospel. If we have developed those friendships, we have those things taken care of, in that sense, as we're talking with people, whether it's briefly or, you know, again, someone that we have been dealing with for some time, we've been talking about directing the conversations to that theme of themes, of bringing them to the point of being able to open up with these questions. Asking the first question, which we've mentioned before, and I bring it up again. It's one that I like Brother Musgrave bringing up because it gets us into that question and answering time rather than saying, you know, are you saved? Or do you know Christ is your Savior? Again, nothing wrong with these questions. But you get a yes or no answer, which the no help is helpful, unless they were like me, as I've said, are you saved? Yes. He didn't follow up after that. I had no idea what he was saying on that bus. So this kind of skirts that issue. I would have been lost if that young man had said, how would you describe your relationship with God? That's not a yes or no question. You have to fill in the blanks. And obviously you've gotten to that point where you are comfortable there working with this, to ask that question, you know, how would you describe your relationship with God? And that really works for everybody. You know, if we're dealing with someone that we're not sure of concerning their salvation and they are saved, how are they going to answer it? I mean, there's any number of ways of saying, yes, I know God. My relationship with him is great because of what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross for me. We have all sorts of ways of answering that question in the positive that is helpful. And again, that can help us too, because they may not be there. And we'll see that as we continue on. But, you know, to bring in this question and to ask this question, as he notes, as naturally as anything else that you've asked. Remember, we're working with people that we have acquired as friends to some degree, and we can ask, I trust, that question. And so it opens it up for the gospel to be presented, because we are aiming to make that encounter a conversation, obviously not a monologue. We're not there to lecture them, but we are there to open the door. And so this question does establish that, and so it helps us then to listen to the answer. What are they going to tell us? And if a person is lost, I realize, you know, we don't have a lost guinea pig to ask, but, you know, what would be a answer to this for someone that is lost and is comfortable in talking about this? Not good. I don't know.
Who is God?
Who is God? I mean, we've got a large category of answers that can go that then help us to continue the conversation. You know, who is God? We have an opportunity to open up the Bible and show them and come to, I'll jump to it, to the last question, which is a little different than answering that one. But obviously reaching around to the point of saying, may I show you from the Bible how to have a relationship with God? And, I mean, that question could help with this as well, because we are talking about God. Let me tell you about this God that I know, and bringing in our testimony as well into this, which we'll touch on primarily next week some. But we have that as an opening question that, again, opens it up for a conversation between the two of us to work through, either in confirmation that we're brothers and sisters in Christ, if it's a positive answer to this question and following through to feel certain that they do know what they're kind of talking about, can move forward. So it opens it up and allows us to do that. So we can take time to continue that conversation, that friendship that we've created, and showing the care and concern as we hear the answers of how we can respond to them. So if we listen carefully, we will learn much from their answers. I mean, we can consider, you will learn by the zeal that they use to describe their relationship or not. Again, we may come across a person that's an atheist and proud of it, and they may willingly, zealously give that kind of answer. And we can work, we can work through that as well. We will learn by the ease or lack thereof of their relationship. I mean, again, that's telling. I realize in years gone by, I would often come across people that were a bit more hesitant to speak of their relationship with God because they considered it a very private thing. When I say that, I'm thinking of people in other denominations than Baptists, that even they would have a proper understanding of salvation, that is through the finished work of Jesus Christ, but they tended to keep it very private to themselves. That's a personal, which it is. It is a personal thing. You can't get saved for me. I can't get saved for you. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. So yes, it is personal. I mean, I've got to be the one to come to that point of trusting Christ. But they take it kind of a step, they have taken it kind of a step further. Well, no, I don't care to discuss it. That's a personal thing between me and God. Well, obviously, if there are those that are still of that type or mindset, it's going to cut our conversation rather quick. I've not come across that in the 21st century. That's something I found more back in the 20th century, several decades ago now. So again, seeing how that the ease or lack thereof will help us to continue forward. We'll begin to learn their needs by the words that they use to describe that relationship, if they have one. If they don't, again, we can help with that. If they're not, they're willing to say, I don't have a relationship with him. We can follow it up with, what do you think it takes to have a relationship with God and to live with him forever in heaven? Again, not just to have a relationship, but to know to live with him forever. Because that adds in that eternal aspect of what salvation is. It's not something that just, yes, it just happens right now, but our salvation is for all eternity. And so it helps to follow up and, again, gets us a little more into their thinking. What do you think it takes to have a relationship with God and to live with him forever? What would be some answers of those that are religious but aren't truly believers? I'm working, I'm trying. I attend church. I'm doing such and such.
Or I'm Catholic. I'm not being sad.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you can shut up, I'm Catholic.
Yeah. But that doesn't answer the question. Now, yes, usually they're wanting to shut down the conversation, and that we can work through that as we can. But again, as you think of that, what are some of the answers which can then help you then move forward with that by then answering those questions, of course, biblically? What do you think it takes to have a relationship with God and to live with him forever in heaven? Sometimes your friends won't know how to answer. How do I answer? I don't know. Again, that opens the door to get to that final question. May I show you how to have a relationship? And so it helps to find out how they're coming back with that. Follow questions as kind of follow-up questions. If your friend gets stuck, if someone you loved asked you how to know they were going to heaven, what would you tell them? Again, to feel them out of their understanding of where they're at scripturally. If someone you loved asked you how to know they were going to heaven, what would you tell them? And so as we listen to the answer, that helps us to understand where is their understanding of the scriptures. If they have an understanding of the scriptures, of the truths that are there. Or if you came upon a scene where someone was near death and asked you how to get to heaven, what would you tell them? See, again, kind of diagnostic or helpful questions to see where they're at and how they're going to answer that. I mean, obviously, if they're speaking biblically, we're going to know that. But it helps to find out kind of where they're at. Are they in a works-based salvation that they're relying on? Are they truly, you know, trusting Christ as their Savior, grace alone, by faith alone, as we would proclaim to them? Or one that has been around for a very long time. If you were to stand before God and He were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? Again, a telling answer that we have coming back to us to then continue to work through, to find out, you know. It lets us start to understand where they're at as we're looking at sharing the gospel with them and moving forward in those things. So if they have those works type answer, we can work to them, you know, what's a good verse to bring to this? Okay, 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works. What's another verse that helps us? Filthy rags. Yeah, our righteousness is our filthy rags. Titus, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Titus 3, as I recall. So we have verses to kind of help them see that it's not us that gets our salvation. Salvation is all of God. And so knowing those verses obviously is helpful to not to counter and, you know, strike them down, but to let them know the Bible says, not by works of righteousness. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so we have those verses that help us to show them. If he gives a vague faith answer, this can help you get more specific as we, you know, look at these answers and find out where they're going for. And if we don't get this information now, we may have to go through the whole introduction to God and have your friend tell you, oh, I've already done that. I mean, we may go through the whole plan of salvation, showing them what salvation is before, oh, yes, I've done that, just because of the nature of terms. I'll use a personal illustration on this. When a young man was wanting to marry our daughter, we had a lengthy conversation with this young man concerning his salvation. And I say lengthy conversation, this was email because he was in the Army and not in Wenatchee. And so I had a lengthy conversation going back and forth with him about knowing Christ as his Savior. He went to a different kind of church, an evangelical church, a church that preached the gospel, but his wording was, we were kind of passing each other. And it took a while before we could get our language meshed so that I was comfortable in saying, okay, yes, Riley does know Christ as his Savior. And so, yes, I am satisfied, at least on this level, that yes, he could marry my daughter. But it took a while to work through because my usage of words were a little different than his usage of words coming back to me and answering those questions. And let's answer. So it took a while to come across that. So we, you know, we may go through sharing the complete gospel as we work through this to, again, to diagnose, to narrow down, to see where we're at on this conversation concerning our relationship with God. So be mindful of that and watchful. And we can, I mean, if we've gone through the whole plan of salvation, they've heard it. And that's ultimately what we're desirous of seeing God do, is to give them the plan of salvation, to show them their need. And so we have that opportunity to do that and to work through that. So as we listen to those answers, it can help us to see, again, where they're at. I needed to move my notes further along. To, again, I hate to use that word diagnostic or diagnosing, but that's kind of what we're doing. We're trying to see where they're at in this understanding of this question, how would you describe your relationship with God? And they may give us various, obviously, answers. We can move forward in asking another diagnostic question. Are you 100% sure that all your sins are forgiven and that you're going to heaven? Again, kind of removing the chaff, if you will, and getting to the crux of the issue, the need, because that is the need of salvation. We have a sin problem. Mankind has a sin problem. And mankind likes to try to address that sin problem in its own means, and it doesn't work. But God has provided the means. And so that's, again, a question that helps. And again, getting the answer lets us know. Are you 100% sure that all your sins are forgiven and that you're going to heaven? Most that truly aren't believers are going to say, I'm not sure. And for some, within some denominations who don't believe in eternal security, they're going to come up with a big question mark here. Yeah, that is often the answer to that, is I hope so. Well, can we show them out of the scriptures that they can know? Yes, we can. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5. Again, this is not a lot of verses for us as we're probing questions, but 1 John chapter 5, when we've seen someone to our abilities see that they have truly trusted Christ, bringing them to John chapter 5 is a way to help them have their assurance, if you will. To show them, because a lot of these are, I mean, a lot of questions going on in our lives when these things come up. But 1 John 5, verse 13, John knows, he says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. He's written these things so that you may know that you have eternal life. Not, I hope I have eternal life, but that you may know that you have eternal life. There doesn't need to be a hope so, because that leaves you in limbo. Well, what if I don't make it? Well, then what are you doing to try to make it? Usually works start coming in. Well, it's not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And again, coming back to our verses and noting that Christ did the work. Salvation is complete in him. And so we have that, I hope, or maybe a no answer, again, is a great sign. If they're saying no to this, again, we can go back to that question, our final question. May I show you from the Bible how to have a relationship with God? May I show you out of the Scriptures, out of the Bible, how you can be 100% sure all your sins are forgiven and that you're going to heaven? And it presents then the opportunity to share the gospel and to bring them to that point that this is the time of harvesting. Obviously, we won't know that till we get there, but follow up with those questions and see, you know, the common answer, as we've noted, maybe, I hope so, I'd like to think so. It is easy to simply say, you seem to have some doubt. Do you know the Bible says we can know? And again, we can show them. 1 John 5:13. It shows us that we can know. And so again, we can ask them that question. If you are uncertain on this, may I show you from the Bible how you can have a relationship? The problem comes with when they start mixing in the word, the works, which we, again, we've already touched on. We have verses to help them understand it's not by works of righteousness. That's not part of salvation. And we can show them that. We can be kind about it. As he notes here, he says, that's different from what you've just told me. Let me show you what the Bible teaches about how to have a relationship with God. Again, showing them that it's not by works of righteousness. So we can work through those and see where they're at, again, with the understanding and with the desire to bring them to that question of, may I show you? Because that is where we're, again, that's the theme of themes. That's where we're trying to bring this person to that understanding so that we can share the gospel with them. But it's being put on a plane where they are wanting that gospel shared because they are seeing their need of the gospel. And so as we ask these questions, we've got to remember he hasn't mentioned it, but I'll bring it here. We have our silent partner who is God the Holy Spirit. I mean, in the olden days, when people would go out door to door or on visitation, you usually had a silent partner. There was one doing the talking, the other one was there to pray. Or maybe, I know Brother Post mentioned when they would go out, sometimes his Roberta would take the kids and take care of them while he's talking to the parents and gets the kids out from underneath foot so that conversations can be focused on what needs to be focused on. And so that was the silent partner, but the silent partner is the fact that God the Holy Spirit is with us, not only working in us, but we trust that is convicting and convincing the heart of the person that we're talking to and relying on him to be at work as we're asking these questions, as we're probing, as we're searching, as we're finding out these things, so that we can then in turn help them see their need, and they're seeing it as we, again, are asking these questions, finding out about these things, sharing Scripture, because again, it's not my thoughts going against your thoughts, it's the Scripture going against your thoughts. God will use his word in their hearts to draw him unto himself. As Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As we'll look at our testimony next week, and as we've touched on, having the Word of God available, that's what God's going to use to bring conviction in that heart. Not our grandiose words, not our way of presenting the gospel. It's God's Word that God's going to use in that heart to draw them unto Himself. And we need to be cognizant of that and realize that, yes, God can be at work as we're dealing with this, and we'll, I trust, sense it, that God is indeed willing and working in that heart. Or they may not. We may just be the one, again, to sow the seed or to water the seed, and someone at a later point is going to be the harvester when they come back, or we come back and we're the harvester of seeing that one come to know Christ as their Savior. But keeping those doors open, working through these questions, hearing the answers, seeing where they're at and how we can bring them to, yes, that theme of themes, to that question of, may I show you out of the Scriptures how to have a relationship with God? And we can, as we work through this, and again, we'll touch on this, giving our own salvation testimony. And I trust that you can. In a, you know, not a hour-long conversation, but in a brief, succinct way, as you deal with people, to share with them your testimony, to help them understand. Because for a lot of people, particularly in our day and age, a lot of people aren't going to know what in the world we're really talking about. Because our Judeo-Christian background is quickly evaporating. You know, those of us that are older, we grew up in it. Whether we knew Christ as our Savior or not, we had some foundation of those basic things in the Scriptures. I mean, even as I've noted, even me, as ignorant that I had some knowledge. A lot of the much younger, that just seems odd to me. The much younger generations now, they don't have that undergirding. It's been removed because I never got it in school. They removed the Bible and then removed prayer back when I was a wee little kid before I got into school. So when I got into school, that wasn't there. And it hasn't been there since. And so you have now 2-3 generations of people. They don't have it in the public square. And of course, in our public square, does the public square want us to be talking about God, about Jesus Christ, and bringing Him up into our conversations about things? No, they don't. And so, yes, there is a population out there that we're introducing them to something really brand new. And yet, it's an amazing brand new thing to show them. Because, again, it's the gospel. It is good news, even to those that know nothing about Jesus Christ. It's still glorious news. And we get to help introduce them to that. Yes, Brother Post.
I think sometimes we forget. Oh, I can't remember where that verse is. You can always go to John 3:16. And for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him, you believe in Him means trust Him, call on Him, shall not perish. That's assurance.
Yep.
You have assurance in that verse too.
Mm-hmm.
If God promises, you believe in Him, you're not going to perish. You can know you're going to have eternal life.
Yep.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
You can do a lot with John.
You can. The gospel is there. So, I mean, we have these wonderful verses that God's put in our lap, that we can put in our minds, hide in our hearts, and can share. God's going to bring them up. We can think, well, I just don't know the Bible that well. Well, if we've put it in there, we may have a hard time reciting it. I know people are always concerned with our memory verses. You get on the spot, and you get the deer in the headlights look, but our God is the one working with us too. And he'll bring those verses back to mind. You may not have thought about it for a while, but if it's in there, as I tell folks, I mean, I think of my mind as a bunch of filing cabinets. I know the file's in there. I may not be able to find the right filing cabinet, the right drawer, or the right file in the drawer, but I know it's there. And I know God knows where it's at. And I know that he will help me find it when I really need it. Because he has. And so we have, again, that silent partner that is not really silent. He's just, we don't see him there with us. That we can rely on. And we must rely on. Because he's the one that will draw them unto himself. And so may we keep that in our prayers as we work through these things. That yes, God be at work. I know you will. Your word will not return void. It will accomplish that which you please. And you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so we have that blessed assurance as we go forth and talk with folks. So we'll look at giving our salvation testimony, Lord willing, next week, and leading into that final question of, may I show you out of the scriptures how to have a relationship with God.